There's nothing like your love.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for that love that you give us, God. Lord Jesus, we thank you the fact that before we ever loved you, that you loved us, that you took the first step in relationship with us. We thank you for that love, and we acknowledge that love. And God, we just want to give that love back to you, and we want to give that worship to you. And God, we are just so grateful for your presence in this place. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, you guys can have a seat. And while you do that, can you give it up for our worship team? Man, they sounded good together, didn't they? Yeah, they did. So, as you may have noticed, we've got Isabel Candelaria here this morning. Can we give it up for Isabel? For those of you who don't know Isabel, Isabel was part of this church for a very long time. Her stud muffin of a father, my childhood, long time, forever, bestie for the resty, best friend, Jeremy Candelaria was the pastor here. I just freestyled that, by the way. Was the pastor here for a very long time, if you're unaware of that. And she was part of this church for a very long time. We also did a fundraiser for her and helped her on a missions trip to Japan. And she is now not in Japan because she's here. See how smart I am? So we wanted to give her a few moments today to kind of speak to all of you and give you guys, and give you guys a rundown of kind of what happened on her missions trip and how that went. So we're going to give her some time to do that.
Hi, guys. Oh, it's so good to be back. It's so good to be back. I just want to start by saying thank you all for supporting me and praying for me and praying for my team and praying for the people in Japan. It means the world to me, and it makes a difference. Your prayer is so important, and prayer is so powerful. So I just want to say thank you so much, and I love you guys so much, and you guys really are just a family to me. Even though there's so many new faces, oh my gosh, I don't know, like half of you guys, hi. So I just wanted to start off with what I did in Japan and the opportunities that I got to do there. So I got to work with a church plant, and I got to teach English at a English cafe, and I got to do like after school programs with kids, and I got to teach them English and hang out with them, and I got to... there's so much. I got to sing in an English gospel choir with college students my age, so that was really fun, and I just got to talk about Jesus with them. And I also got to work at an international school where I got to teach kids, and I got to just hang out with them and play with them, and it was just a really amazing opportunity where I got to go and just spread the love of Christ and be the light in such a dark place. I actually had the opportunity one time. I was out getting lunch with a friend, I say lightly. Usually people who are like best friends in Japan only hang out like once every 4 months. So this hangout was like amazing. I was so ecstatic to just be with a Japanese person and get to like talk with them. So we were talking about just the gospel, and she was so interested in, this doesn't usually happen. So I was like taking this opportunity. I was like, Holy Spirit, speak through me right now. And we were just talking back and forth, and I got to story the gospel to her basically. And she was just asking a bunch of questions to me and my partners, and we were answering them to the best of our abilities. And one of her questions was, so what makes Jesus different? Compared to the gods that we worship, because she was Buddhist, and they believe in syncretism, so that's where you believe in multiple religions, multiple gods, and we told her that we believe that Jesus is the only way, and she was like, what makes Jesus different than the other gods? Like, and I was like, oh, okay. I told her about this ladder analogy that I've heard before. I was like, we're on the bottom of this ladder, right? And all the gods are at the top of this ladder. And we can try everything that we can think of to get to the top of this ladder. We can work as hard as possible. We can be as kind as possible. We can do our best, but we will never make it to the top. We will never be perfect. We will never get there. And it's unattainable. And I was like, the difference is Jesus came down from the ladder and he took our hand and he helped us up. And we get to be at the top with him for eternity. And he's the only God that has ever done that. And he's the only God that will ever do that. And after I got to explain that to her, she was like, I think that's the first time I've actually understood Jesus. So that was just like a huge praise for me. And I had a couple of moments like that in Japan. And it was amazing just getting to spread the gospel. Like, nothing brings me greater joy. With all that being said, though, it was hard. It was tough. I want to read some statistics to you guys, just so you guys can get better, like a better idea of Tokyo specifically. That's where I was at. So there's 125 million people in Tokyo, Japan. It's the third largest economy in the world, the second largest unreached people group in the world. Unreached means they've never heard the gospel before. I feel like a lot of people think of first world country like, oh, of course they have. They have not. So it's the second largest unreached people group in the world. Two-thirds of rural Japan has no church, making them unreached and unengaged. 70% of Japanese identify with Buddhist or Shinto, yet the majority of people live functionally as atheists. There's only 0.5% of evangelical Christians there, with a negative 0.4% annual evangelical growth rate. So it's actually going down. There's estimated 2,000 cults in Japan, and suicide stands as the leading cause of death for those aged 15 to 39. So it's a very, very isolating place. It's a very spiritually dark place. And there were a lot of hard moments that I went through, my team went through, but the Lord is faithful, and he taught me so much through that. And something that he taught me while I was there is that he has already won. That song that we sang, it really resonates with my experience in Japan, because I was doing the work and I was being faithful with what the Lord gave me, but it was hard to see fruit, because fruit there takes a lot of time to see. So the verse that really stuck with me was John 16:33, which basically says, like, you will go through tribulation in this world, but take heart, for I have already come the world, already overcome the world. And I had to repeat that to myself daily, because if I didn't hold on to that, if I didn't hold on to the Lord's faithfulness that he promised, it felt like there was nothing, because it was so hopeless there. So I would just encourage you guys, I'm going to keep praying for Japan. I'm going to keep praying for these people, because they need it. But I want to encourage you guys that the Lord has already claimed his people, and he's already claimed his land, and we are his people. And we have the power of prayer, and that is so important. So I just want to pray for Japan, and I would encourage you guys to keep praying for Japan and the missionaries there. Oh my gosh, it is hard, guys. It is really, really hard. So I'm just going to pray us out, and then Roddy can come back up. But I would encourage you guys to keep praying, and thank you guys so much just for investing in me and what the Lord can do through the opportunity that I had. Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for who you are, God. I pray that we would just rest in remembrance of who you are and of your promises. Thank you so much for the hope that you give. Thank you so much for defeating Satan, sin, and death, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to know you. I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. It is the greatest gift that we could have, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the access to your word, where we can grow closer to you. I pray that we would not take that for granted, Lord, but we would just invest all that we have in you. I pray for the people of Japan. It's so sad there, Lord. It's so dark there. I know that you've already won the battle, Lord. I pray that over time you would just claim your people, and that Satan's grip would just be loosened, Lord. I pray that the missionaries there would be encouraged and they'd be uplifted by each other and by us. And I pray that our prayers would be answered and our prayers would be heard. And we know that they are, Lord. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for this chance to gather together. That is such a blessing, Lord. Thank you so much for community. Thank you so much for other believers that we get to talk to and we get to invest in, Lord. That is such a blessing. Help us count our blessings today, Lord, and help us just surrender the rest to you. It's in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Man, I feel like we could go home. She just preached a message, man. I'm just saying. I mean, I already shortened my message because I knew she was going to be speaking, but we might, you know, buffets might not be open, so I'll go ahead and preach. It's fine. Man, so that doesn't happen without your guys' faithful giving. Like, you guys, this church supported her massively in that trip. And it wasn't just a trip to Japan. It was literally taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, into a place that the statistics that she just read said doesn't have it. And that doesn't happen without you guys. I mean, there was other assistance, I'm sure, but you guys really stepped up to the plate and helped that happen. So I'm so grateful. Isabel, thank you for your obedience to Christ. Thank you for doing what you were told to do. Isabel was telling Carol and I the story when she was coming to us to ask if we would be her sending church. She said something, I'm paraphrasing, I might mess the story up, but she was like, I was called to be a missionary, and I said, okay, God, as long as you don't send me to Asia. And then she was sent to Asia. So it's like, just don't tell God what you don't want to do, okay? But really, Isabel, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for being the light of Christ, and thank you for your obedience to Jesus. We're so proud of you. Thank you. There's no easy segue, so I'm just going to get started, okay? How about that? So, we all know that it's a fact that our lives don't come with an instruction manual, right? It doesn't come with a training video, doesn't come with a blueprint. What it comes with is a mom. Mom is the doctor in our lives. Mom is the referee to numerous fights that take place in the household. Mom is a full-time Uber driver. Right? Doesn't matter what time of day or night, if kids need a ride, you're going. Mom is the judge. Mom is the jury. And mom is sometimes the executioner, right? Moms are firm, but moms are loving. Moms are always going to have your back all the time, but they're also going to be willing to do whatever they got to do to your backside to get you into line, right? Yeah, amen, I heard that. Mom is the one in the family that the kids usually run to first with their problems. Mom is the one in the family that dad is going to run to with his problems because they know that she has ears to hear and a heart to help. They know that mom is going to be willing to listen to the problems of the situation and offer some advice. And today, we get to celebrate you as moms in this place. And that's biological mothers or otherwise. All across the country this morning, moms are waking up to different types of sounds ringing throughout the house. Pots and pans clanging, chaos coming from the kitchen, right? Kids screaming, dogs barking, kids telling the dog to get its tongue out of the pancake batter because mom's about to eat that, right? And then mom will get some sort of breakfast in bed, and it's an amazing treat for her. But mom probably looks down at this plate and wonders what the heck it is that she's seeing on this plate. And she tries to not let the fear of what might be on this plate show on her face. She tries to act happy at the prospect of whatever this concoction is on her plate, right? Starts asking herself questions. Is this bacon on this plate? Are those supposed to be pancakes? Are those olives? Or what's going on this plate? What is this orange concoction, and this cup is this orange juice. And as she tries to choke down a few bites and the day progresses, a few hours later, she'll probably be relaxing on the couch while Dad cleans up the hurricane that went off in the kitchen. If he knows what's good for him, he'll be doing that. But Mom's going to realize something about this time in the day. And what she's going to realize is that her kids tried to do something very special for her. Perhaps for the very first time, her children have tried to give rather than receiving. And what they've done is they've offered the most sincere form of flattery. And what is that? They've tried to imitate Mom. They've tried to do for Mom what Mom has done for them their whole lives. They've given. And they didn't just give, but they gave of themselves, trying to mimic what they've seen in their mother. And that's an amazing blessing. This morning, in every corner of our country, we pause to recognize, to appreciate, and to love one of the most influential group of people that God blessed us with, and that's our moms. And we're thankful for you. And just a pure confession, my job here today, my goal isn't to necessarily teach you as much as it is to celebrate the moms that we have here that are responsible for being the glue to many of our families. But we're at church, so we're also going to open up God's Word, and we're going to learn about one of the most influential, one of the most famous mothers of all time. We're going to talk about a mother who was called by God to the task of motherhood. And many of you in this room were called to that same task by that same God. And today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce you to Mary. God's Son was protected, God's Son was prepared, and God's Son was even pushed. God's Son was showered with the most passionate, unconditional love from his mother, Mary. Catholics pray to her. Evangelicals, we ignore her 11 months out of the year. Mary was the only witness in all of history to be there for both the birth and the death of her son, Jesus Christ. Mary was an amazing, amazing woman. It may be a surprise to some of you to find out that you in this room, mothers that are here this morning in SBC or tuning in online, may very well have a whole lot more in common with history's most famous mama than you may even realize. And that's why today I'm going to introduce you to Mary. Mary was a small town girl from an insignificant village called Nazareth. And I just love God's character, how he has this knack for picking seemingly insignificant people from seemingly insignificant places and putting his spirit in them and giving them a plan and a purpose that they never would have known short of his presence. Today I'm going to introduce you to Mary. Mary got pregnant very young. She was just a teenager. And if you in this room had a child young, it might be surprising to you to know that Mary, historians believe that Mary was just about 15 years old when she was pregnant with Jesus. So here she is, a teenager, pregnant, out of wedlock, which in this culture is totally a no-no. And oh, by the way, she's pregnant out of wedlock with the Son of God. Today, I want to introduce you to Mary. See, people would have judged her because she was pregnant out of wedlock. Not only was she pregnant out of wedlock, but it wasn't even her fiancé who got her pregnant. So they would have automatically, the people would have automatically assumed that not only was she pregnant out of wedlock, no, but she was unfaithful to her betrothed Joseph, the guy that she was engaged to. So even Joseph, he judged her initially, and can you blame him? Can you imagine, men in the room, how hard it would be for you to believe what you were being told if you were in Joseph's shoes? Joseph had a plan to divorce her quietly. He wasn't going to make a stink about it, but he sure wasn't going to stick around because he couldn't deal with the fact that he was being told that his wife was pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. But God sends Joseph confirmation. And Joseph believes what he's being told, so that makes it all better, right? Not at all. It's not better at all because now they're both being judged. Can you imagine the things that would have been said? Like, bro, did you hear about Joseph? His fiance got pregnant cheating on him. That's what they would have thought. And not only that, but she told him that she's pregnant with the Son of God, and he bought it. What? How stupid could you be? These are the things that would have been being said. What a goon. He actually thinks that Mary was faithful to him, that Mary's still a virgin, and she's pregnant by some kind of divine intervention? Oh, and by the way, she's literally carrying the Son of God. What an idiot. There would have been no shortage of insults. There would have been no shortage of judgment. There would have been no shortage of whispers, not just for Mary, but for Mary and Joseph. That's why today I'd like to introduce you to Mary. Because while everybody else was judging her for this apparent alleged scandal, while everybody else was painting an inaccurate picture of her quote-unquote questionable character, God was working in her heart. And when God looked at Mary, he saw a faithful young woman that was ready to do the will of God no matter what the cost. That's why today I'm going to introduce you to Mary. The first thing I want you to know about Mary is that Mary surrendered to God. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 35, and then verse 38, Pastor, that's a lot of scripture. I know we're in church. Okay, deal with it. Just saying. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I bet she felt anything but highly favored in this moment. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Amen. That's a pretty heavy message to receive. I mean, can you imagine receiving that type of message? And I'll answer for you, no, you can't. We can't even imagine what it would have been like for Mary to hear this news. But just for a moment, I would just ask for you to be real with yourself and just think, how the heck would you respond to a message like that? Well, how did Mary respond? Let's look at verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary answered. was just a teenager. So young people in the room, don't tell me for a minute that you can't do something significant because you're too young. And anybody else in the room, don't tell me for one minute that you can't do something significant because you're inexperienced. You don't need experience when you've got the presence and the purpose of the Almighty God behind you. Some of our young people, and I'm so proud of our young people in this church. This young adults ministry is growing and it's doing some great things. But some of our young people, we need to step up and we need to step out because we need to reach people for Jesus. And I think we see our age as, not my age, well, kind of, as a disadvantage. We need to stop letting society and culture tell us that we aren't ready because we're too young. Or maybe because we're too old. The fact of the matter is that you may not be ready, regardless of your age. But you can certainly be surrendered right now. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Mary. See, Mary was hungry. She was eager. She was willing to do the will of God, even though she wouldn't have been old enough to get her driver's license. When Gabriel, easy for me to say, when Gabriel gave this angelic message, the purpose that she was supposed to fulfill to carry the Son of God, she would have been shocked. Like, how would God use a young, no-name teenage girl from a no-name town to carry the Son of God? The name that would be above every single name, the only name that we could call on to be saved? How would you use me? This is Mary. This is what I would think that you would be saying. How would you use me to carry this child? But what was her response? We just read it. Let's read it again. Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. We need some more Marys in our culture today. May your word to me be fulfilled. Would Mary have been nervous? Of course. Would she have been like, I can't do this? I can't, insecure in her own ability? Absolutely. Who wouldn't be with the message that she just received? She would have been anxious about the fact that this prophecy that was just spoken over her was going to include the pain of childbirth. Of course she would have been scared. Of course she would have been anxious. But despite all of that, Mary was fully surrendered to God, first and foremost. And that makes her not just a mother worth imitating, but a person worth imitating. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Mary. The second thing we need to know about Mary is that Mary wasn't perfect. And every mom in the room just said, amen. Cool. I'd say it's pretty good news that we can understand that Mary, the woman that God used to give birth to the Savior of everything, wasn't perfect. And some of us, we understand that, and others might not necessarily understand that. We, you know, if you have any understanding of the Catholic tradition, they do teach that Mary was sinless and perpetually a virgin. Just pointing out, just for clarification purposes, Matthew 1:25 says that that's not true, but he did not consummate their marriage, what's that say, until she gave birth to the son and they gave him the name Jesus. So, what does this all mean? Basically, it just means that Mary wasn't perfect. You don't have to be perfect. Now, I'm not just saying that Mary wasn't just sinless. The Bible tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So it wasn't just that Mary wasn't sinless, but Mary didn't always parent perfectly either. And we can be grateful for that. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 51. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, he went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. They were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After three more days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard them was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Verse 49, Jesus said, "Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But he did not understand. They did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Guys, how many of you in this room or tuning in online, you can put a hand raise emoji. How many of you have ever left your kid at church and not realized it till the next day? Show of hands? I didn't think so. I immediately think of the scene from Home Alone where they're rushing to get into the airport and then into the airplane because they're running late and all the things, and they get all seated, and then the mom, when it hits the mom, she's like, "Kevin," right? Remember that? Can you imagine being Mary? Like, wait a minute, where's Jesus? Like, where's Jesus? And I can only imagine God, like, "Guys, I gave you one job. I gave you one job, and you lost Jesus. How do you lose the Son of God?" What's the point? The point is that moms, all of us, not just moms, this is relevant for everybody, by the way, we've made mistakes in the past. We'll make a few mistakes today, and I can promise you that you're going to make more mistakes tomorrow. And through it all, God's going to love you, and through God's forgiveness, when you repent, he will accept you. And through it all, with the task of mothering or grandmothering, your purpose will be fulfilled. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Mary. The third thing that you need to know about history's most famous mama is that Mary pushed Jesus. And I wonder if anyone in the room today has ever wanted to give your adult kids just a little bit of a push towards their purpose. The story we're about to read here, it's been roughly 18 years since Jesus was lost on the way, where Jesus was lost in the temple. Jesus is now 30 years old, and we see him need a little bit of a push from mama. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and then verse 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and the disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, didn't even acknowledge him, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for the ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus just needed a little push, and Mary was there to give it to him at the perfect moment. And I called it out there, but did you notice that Mary didn't even really give Jesus an opportunity to be involved in the choice? She kind of removed him from the question. She removed him from the equation altogether. She's like, "Ayo, Jesus, there's this thing and there's a problem." And he's like, "No." And she's like, "Cool. Hey, do whatever he tells you to do." Didn't even give him the choice. He just needed a little push. A little push from history's most famous mama. I'd like to introduce you to Mary. The fourth and final thing that we need to know to really know Mary is that Mary was a mom from the beginning all the way to the end. John chapter 19, verse 25 says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother." Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And Mary didn't just stand there stoic, emotionless, like she was already stuck on the stained glass window of a church. Mary was at the foot of the cross and she was absolutely crushed. She was overwhelmed at the sorrow that she would have felt. She would have been crying and wailing out to God, praying to him that he would stop the literal hell on earth that she was experiencing, watching her son go through what he was going through in that moment. Mary literally watched Simon's prophecy come to fruition before her very eyes. The cross would have cut Mary so deeply into her mothering heart. And I can only imagine the fact that she would have felt every slash across his back. That she would have felt every thorn that was pushed into his skull. I can only imagine that she felt the weight of every insult and the pain of every nail that was pierced through his body. But despite that pain, despite everything that Mary would have been experiencing in that moment, where was she? She was there. Jesus' friends had scattered, and isn't it interesting how sometimes the cross has a real tendency to thin out a crowd? Because it did. But Mary was there. Mary wasn't leaving. Because Mary was mama from beginning to end. Mary was mama from the cries of the cradle all the way to the cries of the cross. Once a mother, always a mother. And you'll see mamas like this all across our country in the halls of the hospitals, praying for their kids, in funeral homes, counselors' offices, addiction centers. Because the love of a mom won't let her give up. It doesn't matter what the child has put her through, rebellion, hatred, cruelty. It doesn't matter. Mama's heart won't let her move on because she's called by God and given a purpose to be a mother. Today, I need you to understand who Mary was. I need you to know Mary. Because when a woman becomes a mother, there's an instant realization that one day there's going to be pain. There's going to be friction. See, every cross is different in every single family, but you're going to experience it. That time will come. It's inevitable. Maybe there's divorce. Maybe there's disease. Maybe there's sickness, death. There could be hateful words. There could be seemingly unforgivable actions. There may be the need for tough love. And I can guarantee there's going to be some sleepless nights. But even though oftentimes our pain doesn't make sense on this side of the cross, it's going to make perfect sense on the other side of the cross. See, Mary had the opportunity to see God's entire plan played out right before her eyes. She suffered through the crucifixion. Mary celebrated the resurrection. And Mary was even part of a small group that witnessed the powerful presentation of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. What an honor for Mary. What an amazing gift from God. She got to see the whole thing to where it made perfect sense to her. She was one of the parents that lived long enough to see parenting make sense. Some of us, we live long enough to see God's plan come to fruition for our children, and some of us don't. But through it all, regardless of the storms and the friction and the pain, through it all, mothers that are called by God and given the purpose of motherhood never, ever give up on their kids. If I could have Wes come up. Moms never give up on their kids. A mama's heart won't let them move on. I'm so thankful for that. I want to end with a story, and if it sounds familiar, it's because I told it last Mother's Day, and I'm going to tell it again because I just can't not. It was winter time in Korea, and there was a woman who was in labor, and she was walking through the snow to the home of a missionary friend where she knew she could find help. She was just a little ways from the house, from the mission house, and she saw a creek bed with a bridge over top of it, and she just couldn't move any longer. The pains of birth, that everything that she was going through had overcome her, and she crawled underneath of this bridge, and she laid there, and by herself in the snow, she gave birth to a baby boy. And she had nothing with her except for the heavy layers of clothes that she was wearing on her body. And as she lay there in the snow with her brand new baby boy, she began to take off layer by layer of clothing and wrap her baby boy in the clothes that she had on her back. And she looked into the side of her. There was a discarded burlap sack, and she pulled it over herself. And she laid there fully exhausted from what she had just went through beside her baby boy. The next morning, the missionary's wife was crossing the bridge and heard the faint sound of a baby crying underneath and went under the bridge to investigate what was going on. And there she found this tiny baby wrapped in these layers and layers of clothes, hungry but warm. And alive. And next to the baby was the mother who had frozen to death. The missionary and her husband took the baby in. They cared for him. They raised him as if he was their very own son. And as the boy grew up, he would frequently ask to hear the story of how they found him. And on his 12th birthday, he asked his adoptive parents to take him to his mother's grave. And when they got there, the boy asked them to kind of stay off in the distance because he wanted to be alone at his mama's grave. And as the boy stood there with his head bowed and just crying, he started to disrobe. He started to take off each individual piece of his clothing and lay them on his mother's grave until he knelt in the snow, shivering. And the missionary and his wife heard the young boy cry out to his mom, "Were you colder than this for me?" And he cried. And he wept, and he just knelt at his mother's grave. Guys, we can never repay. We can never give back all that our mothers have given to us. Our mothers are a literal gift from God, biological or otherwise. And I just want to encourage you that if your mom is still alive, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if there's problems or bad blood, or I don't care what it is. If your mom is still alive, you need to reach out to her. You need to tell her that you love her. And you need to thank her for giving everything for you. Maybe your mom's not here, but maybe you have somebody in your life that stood in the gap for you. You should do that same thing for them. Our mothers are a gift. They have sacrificed more than most of us will ever understand. They've went through things for us that most of us will never understand, maybe once we get a little bit older. The greatest form of flattery is when we try to imitate as the story that I told to start when we try to imitate our moms by giving back, right? We can never give back all that they've done, but we can honor them, we can love them, and we can appreciate them. And just like Mary, we can apply these principles that we've learned today, whether you're a mother, a father, or anything in between. Because whether you're a mother, father, or anything in between, God has given you a purpose in your life. And it's not going to be easy for you to fulfill that purpose. And there's going to be pain, and there's going to be failures, and there's going to be times where you need a little push. But you have a purpose in your life. And you have a promise spoken over you. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet here this morning. If everybody could just close your head or close your eyes and bow your heads. We're just going to pray real quick and we're going to dismiss and you can hopefully go spend some time with your mom. But I just want to encourage you here today to love your mama, to honor your mama. And again, some of us don't have our biological moms with us, but I guarantee you that you have somebody in your life that has filled that role and stood in the gap for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you as we look at the life of Mary, that you called the perfect person to bring your son into this world. And even though she wasn't perfect in the sinless way or any of that, but she was perfect for your role in that position, God. And we thank you. We thank you for her surrender. We thank you for her obedience. We thank you for the mothers in this room that you have also put the purpose of motherhood in their hearts. God, we thank you for the gift of our moms. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of the work that was done on the cross. Lord Jesus, I just pray for everybody in this room as we leave this place today, that we would seek to be more like you and draw near to you. As your word says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you, a relational promise that we should pursue every single day. Lord, we thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Mamas, we have a gift for you guys. Real quick, we have a free gift for you guys out here. We've got this set up out here for you to build yourself a bouquet for Mother's Day. So there's directions on the thing, tell you how to do it, but this is just your gift from SBC. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.